Are you a pastor or leader who wants to make a difference? Are you willing to commit to the long term in your ministry? Come along on a journey of endurance with Alan and Trent. Welcome to Endure, building churches and leaders that last.
Hello. Oh, man. That's horrible. Oh, my goodness. Wow. Hey, welcome to the Enduring Churches podcast with Trent and Alan, and we're getting our voice back, evidently. I am. Anyway, maybe I'm going through puberty again. I don't know. But I'm Trent, and I'm here with Alan, and we're excited to be able to visit with you today. We want to talk about technology and social media and how that should be or can be a part of our church. And so, Alan, I want to ask you, how involved should our churches be involved in technology and social media?
Well, first of all, Trent, I'm sorry your voice was under cyber attack as we got started today. I hope you have identity theft insurance for that. But, you know, if your church is not involved, we're going to kind of begin our talk today with websites. But if you're not involved in social media, if you're not involved with having a good website and have a technological presence, you are in serious jeopardy as a church today. You have got to be up on some of this. I mean, I understand that technology is growing so fast that churches can't keep up with it, but that's where people go. That's what people are doing, and that's where you're going to interact with people when you can't interact face-to-face. And so it's very important every church be involved with social media and with the cyber world today.
Well, and so one of the things I think that would be good for every pastor, every church leader is to do an evaluation of where your church is now. How much do you use social media? And do you have a website that is up to date? Boy, that's a big deal, is websites not being up to date. But just take a look around, you know, search up your church on Google, see what pops up. See what comes up. And we're going to talk through some of these things today. I want to tell you about an experience that my family and I had recently. We had gone to East Texas to do a wedding. And on the way back, we were like, you know what? It was a Sunday morning and we wanted to go to church somewhere and just be with other folks that were like-minded believers. And so we were searching online. You know, my daughter and my wife were looking on their phones and I was driving and we couldn't find, it was really a struggle to find a church that had a website that had their times, their service times, had information about where they were, all that kind of thing. Have you ever had that experience, Alan, where you've tried to find something like that?
Yes, and that even has included my own church at some point in time. Just trying to find it every now and then, doing a search and seeing what shows up, and reevaluating what we're doing, which we're kind of in a constant state of that, trying to reevaluate everything that we do. But it can be really hard, and you know, churches make so many mistakes with their website. You know, you and I both on one of the other podcasts we listen to is Tom Rainer's podcast. And one of the things he says that you need to do very quick if you feel like you're not receiving guests in your church is check your website. And he calls that kind of the front door, the new front door of the church. Now, he doesn't mean that that's the literal front door, but figuratively, most people are not going to check out your church until they check out your website. And if you don't have good information on your website, you are in the weeds. And so you need to keep your website up to date.
Well, Alan, don't we all do that? We kind of do the secret shopper, secret stalker kind of thing where we go look up something and try to find out as much online so that we don't, because nobody wants to waste their time, right? Nobody wants to be uncomfortable. So we do the secret shopper thing online, find out much. And so as we think about our website, I think one of the best things to do, and we're working on doing that now in ours, is to have a page of plan your visit. You know, what's it going to be like? Where do I find childcare? Which door do I go in? Which our church has like 20 doors. It's crazy. So there are things like that you need to think through in order to make it to where people feel comfortable enough to actually come to your building.
Well, and that's because, you know, we all think we have a friendly church. Do you think your church is friendly? Everyone, our church is so friendly. Everyone loves everyone in our church. But people who are coming in from outside your church may not feel the same way. And it's important to try to disarm them in a way of speaking before they ever have an opportunity to come, where they maybe already feel like you have made arrangements, you have planned for them to come visit you this particular Sunday. And what have you done to prepare them? And a lot of that shows up on your website. So on your front page of your website, if you don't have, even if you only have a one-page website, which in some rural small churches, maybe that's all you need right now, but are your service times highly visible on there? You've got to have your service times front and center. That is the most important thing. And you talked about what to expect or plan your visit page. I think that those are really helpful. We kind of have had a video. I actually produced a video with a student from our high school on a just let someone follow me in from the parking lot and told them exactly what all would take place. And then he graduated and moved away, and we never got to put that on our page. But I would really like to redo that and have that out there, because I think it's really helpful.
I agree. And you mentioned the young man that you're working with, and that makes me think about that. It would be helpful for you if you're a pastor, a church leader, and especially if you're old like Alan and I are, find somebody to be in charge of this area for you. And I would look even at your youth, because they are technologically savvy way more than we are. And let them be your helpers in putting together your web page. I want to tell you too that Google Sites has, you can do it for free. You just have to purchase your domain name, which that's another thing that's really important. You don't want a long domain. You know, ours is pabcfamily.com. And Alan, what's yours, your church's?
Yes, ours is creekside.cc. So I don't know how we ever ended up with a .cc, but it kind of fits because we're Creekside Community Church. So creekside.cc, it works. It's nice, short. It's simple and straight to the point. Keep it that way. Don't try to put a sentence in there like we are a thriving church in so-and-so place.com. Way too long. Try to keep it short. Put your information out there on your website. You also want to make sure you have a staff page. Whether that's just one staff member or 10 staff members, you want to make sure that you have a good staff site, because people are going to want to know who it is they're going to see, because there are staff members oftentimes who fly under the radar. The pastor oftentimes becomes highly visible, but maybe everyone else kind of drifts into the background. So keep a staffing page on there. Tell a little bit about them. People want to, the more they know about that person, the more they're going to be comfortable in the environment. So inform them as much as you can.
Yeah. Another thing we haven't mentioned yet is a map. And, you know, make sure that you do like a Google map or something that you can put on your website, but make sure that it actually goes to your location, because we've all heard stories, horror stories about Google Maps and other maps sending you to the wrong place.
And that certainly happens. That happens for us, Trent. We used to have another building that we owned, but it wasn't big enough for our meeting site, but we had our offices there. And every now and then people will show up to the Lutheran Episcopal Church in town, because they bought the building from us, and they'll show up to their service because they thought that was our location. And yeah. So we've tried to correct that as much as we can, but it's something that you do have to pay attention to. But try to keep a map, at least an address with a clickable link to a map, on your site, because that's very important. And then what happens too, Trent, whenever you do a Google search on a church, what's one of the things that's going to pop up that you may not have planned on?
Well, what we encountered when we were searching for a church just a couple weeks ago is that on Google Maps, you have reviews that people can post. And I wasn't even aware of that, but that's important for you to think about and go look and see what people, how they've reviewed your church on Google Maps, and ask your folks from your church to post reviews. I will tell you that we had all of our reviews were great except for one, and it was a 1-star guy. And I found out this guy has literally done the same review for every church in Stevens County where we are. And so you kind of need to overcome that. And this guy's never been to our church. So anyway, but you know, have good reviews. And I found out, I don't know, Alan, if you ever use Yelp. I use it to look up restaurants because I'm a foodie. But evidently they have church reviews, and you can find churches on there, and then people review on there as well.
Yes. And, you know, we went through the same thing. We had our first ever review that showed up online was a really kind of weird situation. This guy shows up randomly into our church building one day before the service starts, comes storming into my office, barging in. Before I could even react to him, he's got two hands on my desk and is asking me what time our services start. And so I told him what time our services start, and he said, okay. And then he just leaves and goes out and sits in his truck. And he sits in his truck through one service. We have a safety team that was monitoring the situation and began to grow concerned as other people said, why is this guy just sitting in the parking lot? And so our safety team called the sheriff's department. The sheriff's department came and said they'd had issues with this gentleman and asked him to leave. And then we get this negative review on our website where he was complaining that I didn't even get up to greet him. And I couldn't have stood up. I would have hit his chin the way he was standing over my desk. But, you know, I mean, that was our first ever review. And I was like, man, I hope that's not the only review that I ever see. But and it's not been. But, you know, these things are going to happen. You know, you've got to know that those things are out there. And I love what you said. Let some of your members talk about your church. They have stories about your church and what your church means to them. And that's not stacking a deck. That's not being insincere. That's just them telling about what your church means to them. It's no different from them sharing a testimony in the service itself. And so certainly do that.
That's true. And, you know, getting different people from different age groups to share on that is helpful as well. So we've talked about the front door of your church that is in a website, but there are also some other platforms, social media platforms that we want to talk to you about. That I think if used wisely and prayed about, you can use them in a good way. And the first one of those is Facebook. And so, Alan, do you do much on Facebook? I know that we do for our Enduring Churches podcast, but how about for your church? Well,
we do a lot. We do a lot through Facebook because, again, our church predominantly is 30s and up, apart from our children and youth. And so that's the Facebook group. They're in their 30s and up. The reason people under their 30s aren't on it as much is because once grandma's on, you can forget about the kids being on it regularly. And so the kids that's have true. Moved into other things. But Facebook is still the largest social media platform that is out there, and who knows how long that'll be the case before that changes to something else. But Facebook has a lot of things that you can do with it that are really neat. I mean, you can have your own church page, you can link it to your website, you can do this neat stuff with groups in there where you can have special groups that have their own posting within there. You can make those public or make them private. You can do stuff with ads in there. You can, I know of people who actually advertise their small groups to encourage people to come visit their small group. There's certainly nothing wrong with that. You can use Facebook Live to video stream services or messages or anything that you want to do. So there's a lot you can do with Facebook. How much do you guys use Facebook?
We use it a ton. And actually, I mean, we use it way more than our website. Our website is there just to kind of provide the basic information that people need. But Facebook is where we really reach out. And I will tell you that the ads section, being able to boost an ad or boost a post as an ad, that for us is a game changer, because you can get way more bang for your buck with an ad than you can through a newspaper ad or radio ad. And you can control where it goes and who it goes to. So I think ads on Facebook are really, really helpful. And they're cheap.
And they're so much more they're so much more targeted. For 30 some odd dollars, you can boost an ad and it will have a pretty hefty reach. So there's a lot of things you can do with Facebook. And you know, you can even reach out to Facebook. They'll help walk you through some of those kinds of things, and they will be good assistance to you in advertising, because that's how they make their money on a free platform. But they're not the only platform out there. There's the other one, the Twitterverse. And so, you know, you never know who's on Twitter. Twitter's a different animal.
That's true. And I feel like, and I don't know, I'm not expert on Twitter. I don't use it really. And I've got an account. I don't post on it. I have a couple of folks in our church that post every once in a while about things happening in our church for us. But I feel like that Twitter is losing its, you know, area, unless you're following some celebrity or something. I don't feel like Twitter is going to be that much help to you as a church if that's where you're trying to get reach people at.
I think it's more of a kind of a leadership thing. If you want to follow what's going on with some leadership things or quick news things or something like that. But it's also a place where you can use up a lot of negative energy if you want to get into negative posting. And I see that. Sadly, that's where not only people like to argue, but Christians like to argue back and forth about different stances, whether that be in politics or theology or whatever. And when you're not having those conversations face to face, there's not much that goes on that's very healthy. So if you have a tendency to get drawn into lame arguments, I would encourage you to stay off Twitter. And remember that when you tweet something out there, it's going to follow you. And so if you're a pastor or ministry leader, just know, if you want to move to another church or another church is looking at you, they're going to check out your Twitter feed. And so be smart, be wise, do the right thing. Try to make it a source of encouragement and don't get involved in the minutiae of things that do not matter. But if you have a lot of people in your church on Twitter, you probably need to be on Twitter. If you don't have anyone on Twitter, I'm probably the only person in my church who uses Twitter. I know some other people have accounts, but I never see anyone from my church posting. It's usually just me. So anyway.
I'm glad you said that, mentioned about, be careful what you post, because this is true, not just in Twitter, but all these social media platforms. Those posts don't go away. They're out there. And so you can hurt yourself. This is true, not just in the church world, but if you're a young person, be very careful, because potential employers are going to look through all the social media platforms. They're going to do an in-depth search on you. And so you have to be careful. Don't put something in there that you'll regret, a few years down the road. All right. So the next one, next platform there, and all these, they're really based on age groups, like Alan had said before about Facebook, but Instagram is really the 30s and under, younger people. They're your teens and college age kids are going to be more on Instagram for sure than on Facebook. But this is a place where you can post some of your current events, make sure and have your website link on there. And, if you've got young people's group or young families. You might even use Instagram to post on there.
Great place for pictures. A lot of people will like to post pictures. I've got a daughter who likes, she has a couple different Instagram accounts, and one of them is strictly for her pictures, where she likes to just post some of the nature pictures that she takes. And so she spends a lot of time on Instagram. I spend little time on Instagram.
Yeah.
But it's a very popular format. Students, you know, I coach a cross country team. They very rarely talk about Facebook. I never hear anything about Facebook, but I do hear about Instagram. And I also hear about the other one, Snapchat. Now, Snapchat, again, when you talk about different animals, Snapchat is a different animal.
Well, and if I am thinking right, Alan, is Snapchat, some of those pictures or whatever, they're only on there for a brief time and then they're off. At least it used to be that way. I don't know if it still is.
Yeah, Snapchat is filled with potential danger areas. And so you need to have, if you're going to have a church presence on Snapchat or a ministry leader with a presence on Snapchat, you need to be very wise. There needs to be some accountability. There needs to be some guidelines set in as to how that's going to work. I would in most cases probably discourage a church from having a Snapchat presence, but then again, it depends on the situation and the setting and what your church is trying to do. If you're a church in an area that's just filled with teens, it may be a necessity, but every conversation needs to be able to be recorded and it needs to be accounted for, because there's a lot of places where that can go wrong. But one of the things too that we need to do is communicate with people what these things are, communicate with students how to do these things right and wisely, and to create good boundaries within social media, because obviously adults don't have good boundaries in social media. Look at Facebook, look right. at Twitter, and look at the arguments and how they have changed our culture and how they've changed society. People are so frustrated with the polarization of everything. And a lot of that's come because of social media. We are able to do things without having to look someone square in the eyes. And that is a problem. And it's not just teenagers. This is adults kind of leading the way in bad behavior.
Right. Yeah. We tend to give kids a hard time, but yeah, moms and dads and grandparents even do the same thing, just because of what you said, Alan. Because they don't have to stand in front of somebody, they're emboldened to say stuff that they wouldn't say otherwise. And so be careful. We're supposed to be Christians in all this stuff, even online. And we're reflecting Christ in our relationship with him. So we want to encourage you.
And we just want to remember, keep your presence out there, but keep, like in everything else, don't be blameless in the eyes of the world. Don't be part of the blame and part of the problem. Be wise in how you do this. There's a couple other things that people may not know about that might be beneficial up to their church. And Trent, you told me about this one because I was totally unaware. And so I did some research before we wanted to record this, and I love it. It's called GroupMe. So are you using GroupMe?
Yeah, I am. I've got it on my phone, and I'm a part of like three different groups and ministries that I'm a part of that are even outside of our church. I'm on the board of a group, pregnancy center, and then also part of a group called Beautiful Day. And so that's a great place for you to send out quick information about events or meetings that are coming up. And you can control who's a part of this. You can't always control who's on your groups on social media platforms, but GroupMe, it's by invitation. And so that's a good way for you to be able to communicate with small groups in your church or outside your church.
So think about that with your small group ministry, and you're always trying to figure out how you can let people know about needs that arise within a group or something like that. It's a free app and has a lot of options. But if you want to be able to share files or something more that goes maybe beyond what something like a Dropbox does in the way of communication, there's one that kind of would fit between GroupMe and something like Dropbox or a cloud service, and that's called Slack. And so what makes it different from something like GroupMe is that you can actually share files and additional information. Its drawback is, though, it's not always free. And so Slack has become quite popular in the business world. I think we're going to see it continuing to become more popular, though, in the church world as well.
Yeah, and that's all these, you know, we're just trying to give you kind of a brief information about these, and we want you to be prayerful and wise in how you use them. One of the last ones I just want to mention briefly, just finding out about, is called TikTok. And this one really, the teenagers are, and middle schoolers even, are all over this thing. And it's short video clips. And so I want to encourage you to be aware of this. And if you're a youth minister or reaching, you know, youth Sunday school teacher, you might be aware of this and look and see if some of your kids on there. But this one, you just really want to be careful about. It can be good or it can be really bad. There was a segment this morning on Good Morning America about this platform and how teenagers are using it. So it's out there.
And there's always something new. There'll be something new tomorrow. It's going to continue to change this landscape. This cyber landscape is under constant change, constant refinement. What is popular today may not be popular tomorrow. What looks like the coming trend may not end up being the coming trend. Everything can change in a moment's notice with all this stuff. So, and you have to keep that in mind. And so we want to encourage you to just do your best to pay attention, to know what's out there, to kind of know what's going on. And I bet we missed something. And we certainly want you to let us know what we missed. We'd love to come back and talk about that sometime. Reach out to us on one of our platforms, whether that's through our website at enduringchurches.com or going to our Facebook page and at Enduring Churches, and let us know what we might have missed. But what would you like people to remember about social media, Trent?
Well, I think one of the big things for us to keep in mind, it's easy for us to just quickly rely totally on a social media platform or a website. But please remember that social media is not really social, and it's never supposed to take the place of a real personal interaction. Being face-to-face and having a conversation, shaking a person's hand is so important. And a personal invitation is still way more effective than a Facebook post. And so we want you to don't throw the personal stuff out and go totally on social media.
Well, we also know that social media can cause a lot of anxiety. It causes anxiety among teens, among adults. So just remember, don't live your life through social media, as Trent has said. Try to make sure that you disconnect from it from time to time. We want to be more than what we are on social media, and we need to be more than what we are on social media. So we thank you for joining us today on Enduring Churches. I'm Alan, and thankful for Trent, and so grateful that we are able to share this time with you. And if we can come alongside you and help you in some other way, we are available for church consultation. If you're a church without a pastor, we'd love to consult you on how you can call your next pastor or ministry leader. And so we love helping churches. We love helping you, and we are grateful for this opportunity. And we look forward to catching you back on our next episode.
We appreciate your time and the fact that you have chosen to spend time with us. Make sure to share your email with us so we can keep you informed about future episodes.